Good evening, everyone. This is a show all about you. You radiate, whether you're conscious about it or not. But here on Radiance by Design, we're learning about that. How do you change your resonance? How do you change your radiance? We have a ton of tools, and you've probably heard some of them on this show. Why do we want to bother? Because we've all heard about the shift. And from my perspective, the shift is taking more time than we all wanted. We wanted it to be instantaneous. But from my perspective, or what I learned from my wonderful guides and angels, is that the shift moves our frequencies up on an individual, and then it's catching, of course, collective level. And that changes a lot of our outlook. A ton of our outlook on life, a lot more compassion, a lot more, it's going to release all those defensive coldnesses that we have in us. Have you ever felt like really cold in the face of a kind of challenge? That usually implies, like a lot of us get that, sometimes just a tiny bit, sometimes a huge amount. And that it usually comes from when you're young, or maybe it's other lives, but usually it's when you're young and in this life and you've had some extreme frustrations, you pull back, you hunker down, and you don't feel on that level. And that blocks empathy for other people. It's really interesting because I got a message from somebody who's Ukrainian, and she has asked, she's a oneness blessing person, and she's asked if we could pass this on to as many people as possible to pray every day for 3 weeks, that we're going to get tons of people to pray every day for 3 weeks, that people wake up and resonate with one another in such a way as to increase compassion, understanding. We would forfeit that desire to punch someone out or hurt anybody if we could raise our fields and frequency enough, you know? I don't know. I haven't got up there with the angels yet. Maybe they have competitions and jealousies and so on. But I think the ownership of resources and that fear-based stuff. Hi, you're on the air early. Hello. And let me just say one more thing. Hi. Who have I got?
Aaliyah.
Hi, Aaliyah. Just let me say a couple more things. Welcome to the show, Aaliyah. And to everyone, it's really important when we raise our fields in frequency consciously that we're helping the whole planet. And as you raise your fields in frequency, many people become well where they were sick. Many people, it might be just sort of like climbing up a ladder. You get well or better and better as you go along with it. You don't just, well, some people do. You have a near-death experience or something and suddenly your tumors all decrease and everything's fine. But most of us have a kind of a bit of a like bit by bit thing. Anyway, this is Veronica Entwistle speaking. I didn't quite introduce myself. We're going to do a coherent meditation. But first we have Aaliyah, and I'm going to talk with Aaliyah, and she's going to talk with you at the beginning. That's a nice change. Hello, darling.
Hello. How are you?
I'm really good, actually. I'm in Mount Shasta.
Oh, I thought you said you were coming my way.
Oh, well, we'll talk about that later. People don't need to hear all that right now. I'm going to Santa Barbara is what I'm doing.
Oh, yeah. Well, Mount Shasta, I hear, has got the most beautiful energy.
Yeah, it's got wonderful, wonderful energy. And I drove down from Portland area today, and I like to stop where there's a really good, what we were talking about, are there really wonderful resonances, so you can go and really boost your own resonances after fighting traffic or whatever else you do on the road. I do like driving, so I have to admit that. What's going on in your world? Did you get that book out?
No, I sent it to you, and we were supposed to talk, but I didn't get a chance to. I basically put it in the ebook format just a few minutes ago.
Good.
Be ready. I cut a sound file. What I usually do is I work on a sound file on my, believe it or not, on my iPhone, and then I make it into a movie. And so this sound file is really kind of like I called it the dedication to the book. So
it will be.
Yeah, it will be a little video introduction and I thought when I first cut it, it was perfect. And then, of course, I'm doing all this editing. So half the day today, I was editing the sound. I always do that. I'm a perfectionist. But
where are you going to put? Where are you going to put this little movie?
Well, the movie will be the sort of like the little, what do they call that thing? You know, the movie that encourages people to buy the book.
Oh, okay.
So
trailer.
It'll be
a book trailer.
Yeah. So a book trailer, yeah, so to speak. So it'll be simple. It's about 5 minutes long. I tend to be a little wordy and slow, so I had to kind of speed it up a little bit, I think. But I think it's good.
I'm proud of you. Excellent.
Yeah, these things get done so quickly for me these days. And, you know, I basically just get, you know, tapped on the head and I'm, okay, I'll do that. You know, I just do it very, very quickly.
So but, what you're you know, saying always, is that you're downloading stuff. Is that right? Because I believe that there's more and more downloading possible as we increase our fields and frequency. Boy, oh boy. More and more wisdom can come through fast.
Yeah, and I was going to say one of the best ways to heal vibrationally is to really connect with the earth and to hold that energy because, you know, it really is the source of power for, you know, it is the real matrix, and that matrix of power is what gives the structure to matter. So we're able with this ascension process to go into the earth, go and bring spirit into matter in a way that's never been here before. And so that's coming through in the book as well. You know, but just a lot of information came through that I didn't even know I was going to put in there.
That's exciting. Well, I'm not going to talk very much with you at this point because I want to do a coherent meditation situation at the beginning here. So let's talk further at another point.
Okay.
But thank you so much for your call and for starting us all off with that information. Mm-hmm. Blessing the earth and bringing it through us. She's alive too, isn't she?
Collaboration.
You Beautiful bet. Collaboration. It all is, isn't it? Thanks for saying that.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
All right, everybody, close your eyes. Everybody, close your eyes and take a few deep breaths. One more. And now I want you to look at your external self. What do you think yourself is important for? What do you think is important about what you present in the world? Are you tall? Are you short? Are you pretty? Are you consider yourself not so pretty? Are you handsome? Are you successful? Are you creative? Are you ingenious? I want you to keep listing in your mind all of the definitions or the pieces of identity that you hold near and dear to yourself. And if you don't quite know where to go with this, ask yourself, your higher self, your grand self. Ask your grand self to show you sparky, I already said creative, persistent, magical, angry, sad, depressed, stuck. All these things are relevant. Like my grandmother, you know, think of all these things. We put them on us like, it's like you've got a putty knife and you're just slathering them all over the essence of your being. And I want you to list and list and list as many of those pieces as you can. That's right. Many, many as you can. So maybe how you see yourself as we have our eyes closed and we're feeling the resonance, maybe you see yourself with all these little patches, these little post-y notes all over you. I have a great smile. I'm short-sighted. I have some disabilities. I have some abilities. I'm funny. I'm not funny. You know, I have a great heart. I have a timid heart. keep bringing it in. I want you to exaggerate all that you can. That's right. Now, I want you to imagine. Now, we did an interview with David Eisen and ran it on Tuesday in Paradigm Shifters, and he's a sound healer, and he also is a metaphysical teacher. And what he talks about, I'm talking about all the pieces of your identity, he calls it the manufactured self, the self that's always seeking validation. So we use different terms than other people sometimes, but if you sit with those terms, you sometimes get the common threads. So I'm saying pull up all the pieces of your identity, list them like mad, and exaggerate them so you can see them, resonate with them, see all these little pieces of ticker tape moving around on your on the essence of your being, like little flipping pieces. Good. And ask for help as we command total release. Total release. Total release. I am not. I am not that. I am not fat or thin. I am not strong or weak. I am not blind or far-seeing. I am not handsome or pretty. That's not what I am. That's what I put out there. And in truth, there is a lot of validation that can come from a carefully arranged identity. Validation in the form of job, success, recognition, family life, whatever, you know, build up a whole bunch of these things. But I want you to look inside again. And what do you see inside when we move all the identity pieces away or the manufactured self away? What do you see inside of yourself? You know, you're the only one in the universe that's you. What are you? Good. Some of you are pretty sure that you know. It's a very wonderful thing, isn't it? This is why we meditate and so on, because we get more and more deeply in touch with the essence of our being. Good. And now I want you to play a little game with me. Some of you have had difficulty in your childhood. Oh, really? So like, who hasn't, I suppose, eh? So some of you feel defensive. So I want you to pick a feeling like defensive or sad or abandoned. I was working with someone today and I could see that she feels hurt about herself, hurt about who she brings to the table, who she brings to different relationships. And it was like an amazing cloth that ran down her whole body. And so we started to pull it up. So what I want you to do is pick a feeling, and I want you to resonate with it, bring it up and feel it. If you want, wrap yourself in light, and that way you don't pull in everybody else's. That's right. Okay? You want to be the unique person that you are. So pick a feeling. And I think I've talked to a number of people lately who have a feeling of being so lonely. I think some people are born with loneliness. So let's just feel, if that's yours, let's feel that. Allow yourself to tumble around in it. And for some of you, it's already changed. It moved from whatever you started with into something else. Brilliant. That's perfect. We want that. Yeah. And have it change into something else. Or shall we say, let it change into something else. So the sadness, for example, some of you chose, could turn into anger. Or it could turn into bitterness. Or it could turn into deep depression. We don't want that. But if it does, in an exercise like this, trust me, you can go right through it and come out the other side. Because we're calling in the guides and angels and asking for help as we carry on through this particular process. There we are. Now, just before we're finished our group meditation, I want you to connect again with the structures. Remember the good old structures? Yeah, call in a golden ball above your head, perhaps 2 miles, and below your spine, about 40 feet, another golden ball, and drop a stream of light as if it were a wire from the upper golden ball into the lower golden ball. Got it? It's skewering you. You've got a skewer running through you, right through your spine. From the upper golden ball to about waist height, drop a four-sided pyramid. Push it out a bit so you've got room to play inside of it. And then upside down, with its point going into the lower golden ball, another golden pyramid. When you push the two together, you've got yourself a big diamond shape or a double tetrahedron. And inside of that, we want to create a crystal ball and have the outside edges of the crystal ball push the inside edges of your structure, your double tetrahedron. And then inside of that, create a star tetrahedron, which is a three-dimensional Star of David. And inside of that, there you are with this skewer running through you, this wonderful ray of light, this beautiful, beautiful hot wire. And I'm asking you to spin and spin and spin in your star tetrahedron. Spin and spin and spin. And as you spin, look in front of you and see this magical screen. We've done this off and on for years, haven't we? See the magical screen, and we're going to create some movies, or you're going to create some movies. The first movie is you becoming what it is you want to become. Sometimes we forget what we want to become, or sometimes we have to renew our interest in becoming. Because my understanding is that if you're a soul spirit, the essence of your being is always in a state of becoming, and you can steer a lot of that. You can say, I want to be, what did I tell you before? I wanted to be consciously multidimensional, able to function on any level there. What is it you want? And now wrap that in light. When you get what you want in your vision, wrap that movie in light and move it over to the side. We're creating our second movie, which is you creating something that you want to create. And for me, it's a... Right now, I'm back into my book and a television show. So what I see is all the pieces, the people, places, things, the money, the resonance, the inspiration, all coming together so that this all happens for me. And as your project is coming together and happening for you, and it can actually be a home and family, it can be a number of, it doesn't have to be what I say, just what you dream of. Let yourself dream and see all the pieces coming together. And you're so happy because it's successful. Now, we don't quit there. We go, okay, I want to sustain my project. So let's see all the pieces, all the money, the people, the place, the time, all flowing to you to keep your project sustaining itself. Good work. And now we're going to open the Galactic Healing Center. You and I know that we have a huge team of guides and angels and a beautiful connection to Source, right? So out of your great coalescence of beings, set yourself up. This is a healing center. This is our hospital, our galactic hospital, right? And we're going to set up a ring of the guides or the beings, the angelic beings or whoever it is you call, who are really attuned to healing. And we want them to stand around this brilliant table. It's brilliant because it's kind of a white cloth, but it seems to be glowing. And we're going to put people on the table. So the first person that goes on the table, ta-da, is you, or in my case, me. Flop, you go on the table. And what is it you want to work on? Maybe you don't know. If you don't know, you ask your guides and angels what it is you need to work on, okay? And they'll really enjoy helping you and telling you. And if you have something like your heart's broken or you have a sore hip or, you know, whatever, you just tell them what you want to work on. Okay, there you go. And if you came in with your identity crisis and you were working on sadness or grief or, you know, whatever, you can also ask them to work on that. Ask them to take it, actually, because they'll do that. Good. And the energies are very powerful, and you're very powerful. So wrap that in light, move it over to the side. And now we're going to bring in some other people. Who do you know that needs healing? Okay, so I'm seeing an older lady, and she's having a lot of physical problems, my goodness. And I think she's got, she's overweight, and she's got a lot of pancreatic problems and belly indecision and so on. But she can't really name anything. She's got aches and pains and has a lot of childhood trauma, even though she's up in her 70s. She has a lot of childhood trauma because you and I know if you don't move some of those beliefs along, they'll still erupt in you, right? So anyway, that's right. So they're immediately, oh, good. The guides are immediately pulling big streams of energy from her head and from her feet, and they pull right through her whole body. And they're giving her a kind of vitality. I bet you at home, she may not know we're talking to her, but I bet she's starting to feel better all about her life. Let's wrap that in light. As you wrap it in light, move it over to the side. It keeps doing, so she's going to feel some effects. Now, the next person that comes in is somebody that has an autoimmune illness. It's terrible. My goodness. This is a male, but I'm bringing in two other women who also do. They're all having thyroid issues, but they're all manifesting them very, very differently. Now, if you think about our work on identity, you know, very often our neck, which is consciousness of self, and that's what we're talking about in this particular meditation. If you've had a huge loss or a big trauma, very often your thyroid drops in function. And you could say you swallowed down your grief, or you felt threatened and you held yourself back inside, and there was this incredible pressure in the throat chakra. Well, when you know that, you can do a lot about shifting it. In any case, I've got three people up here, and they're going through a lot of, there we are, they're going through a lot of autoimmune things. One is a young lady, and she needs to have her thyroid worked on, actually. Medically. I don't always rush to the medics, but there you have it. Yeah. And there's a man here who's got a lot of making me yawn when I go to him. Wrap yourselves in light, you guys. You don't want to take it on. And he has a lot of body pain. And it seems to float through him in a really interesting way. He had I don't quite know why, but it's like an autoimmune thing and an inflammation. It's an inflammation out of control. That's it. And the guides are working on it. They're actually retuning something in his neck, his thyroid, and in his brain. It's like they're turning little knobs like you do on the end of a guitar, right? But we're going to see if he can find some release. Good. And now... Okay. I've got one more person I want to bring in right now. But the other person that I brought in is a woman. And she's having a very different reason for body dysfunction. She's very overweight, and her thyroid is just locked down in place. And I want to say her reasoning for that is because she's trying not to be bitter and trying not to be angry. But what's happening? She's holding it all in that place. So she's very overweight. Her thyroid is bonkers. And she's trying to subdue any dramatic presentation of this. And what we would say to her, because the guides are, they're putting their etheric hands around her neck, which sounds threatening, but it's not. And they're trying to give her permission to be in the emotions, as if she needs to go into the emotions and let them move. Because if she got into, and everybody at home can do this one, if you go into, where in my body do I hold? You'll find all kinds of tensions trapped in there. Where in my body do I hold? Right? You could phone me and tell me that you really found out you hold in your belly, you hold in your chest. some people I talk to, I can feel it immediately. So that's a caution. If you're going to be an intuitive, you got to clear all the time or else you just take it all on, right? But I'm saying to her, where does she hold? Because that's imperative for her to deal with what's going on with her. And it looks like she's lightening up. And then you people at home that are working on your identity. We were taught when we were little that you purse your lips if you're a lady. And I noticed that several of us in my family will purse our lips. It's hilarious. And I go, oh, we're just trying to look like ladies, whatever that meant. I don't know where we picked it up. But that's just a funny example of how we all do strange things because we think it improves our identity. Does that make sense? So now we have another fellow here, and I'm getting a lot of weight stuff in this, and I think it's because we're talking about the neck and the thyroid and identity and all that. And when people feel less than, okay, they will often eat a lot to compensate for this ache inside of them. And feeling less than is sometimes terrifying. So I'm looking here at a youngish man. He's younger than I am, but almost everybody is. And he's kind of, he lost a lot of weight and then he gained it back right away. And it's almost like inside of the fatty part in his body, there's this hysteria. I can't help but say it that way, because that's what it looks like to me. And he's losing it totally in his, what would you call it, his nervous system, his tolerance for other people, for emotions. He just keeps losing control. He's frantic. And I want him to lie here, and I want the guides to work with him, and they know more than anybody. There you go. There we go. They're getting him calmer. They're moving his neck and his head. And if any of you have those kinds of issues, you may not be as extreme as this guy. Maybe you are. But if you have any of those kinds of issues, it is back to energy and identity and how we pile on ways of being because we think they make us safe. But this fellow, deep inside, is very intuitive, extremely sensitive. He came from a lot of abuse as a child. And now, as he's 40, you could say that the abuse is acting out in the way his body is shaping itself and the way his cravings are demanding attention, you see? It's his abuse acting out. So we're trying to assuage. There we are. Things are starting to calm down in him. Yes, they are. And he's essentially a really good person. And wrap that in light. Thank you to the guides and angels. And now let's take a few minutes to send light, to draw light in. And as Aaliyah pointed out, the earth is also a resonant chamber that's really moving and grooving, and we can collaborate with her. So, but I like to bring in the frequencies that are new, that are coming in from the universes as well, and bring them through your body, mind, and wrap your body with them, and then send out all kinds of vibrations. Perhaps this will be pink and orange and purple, and send it to all the places where people are warring, where people are sick, where people are greedy. Just keep bombing them with this amazing, beautiful light, bombing them with the light, bombing them with the light, bombing them with the light. And all the in Gaza and the places where it's treacherous just to be in Czechoslovakia, right? Just keep bombing them all with light, bombing them all with light, because it helps you. You raise your fields and frequencies and you become a part of this shifting, amazing shifting collective. So send it all over the world, wherever you sense that there's anxiety or tension or greed, poverty, food distortions, GMO stuff. Good. And pat it down on the world and have it go round and round and round the world. Round and round and round the world. Good. I can feel a real buzz. And have it go round the world again and hit your hands, your palm of your hands, run up your arms. Circle round and round in your chest. Move up through your neck and circle round and round and round in your neck. Consciousness of self, identity, consciousness of self. Don't swallow it down. Move those frequencies through your neck, right? Good. And then straight out through to the top of your head, way out into the great central sun, and drop it back down through your body, scouring your entire body, hitting the earth, the core of the earth, back up to you. It bounces back up. And now we turn around, close off the galactic healing center. Maybe you use a zipper. Maybe you use a fancy lock. I don't know. Then you jump into the star tetrahedron and spin and spin and spin. And I really want you to phone me today. I want you to tell me who you are and where you've been as we did our meditation. Who we are is really important. Who we are can change reality in a huge way. David Eisen's podcast is probably worth listening to. He likes to break down the human mind in three different kind of channels. And one of them is the bifurcated self, is his term for dualism, how everything is duality. And you know this, and I know this, but I don't always experience this, and I'm sure you don't either, that we're moving in the whole... He didn't say this, but my understanding is as a species, we have an opportunity to grab hold of a massive intention and instead of being bifurcated, move into unity, understanding that it's a project that we all came to work on, which is to ascend or to raise our consciousness collectively up and out of a combative reality and into a, what we used to always call it, heaven on earth. Isn't that exciting? And so when we talk about the bifurcated self, we have to grow out of it. So David was saying, well, you have to go into a phase where you understand your manufactured self. So if I talk to you in a certain way because I want you to like me, because I want you to pay me, because I want you to play with me, because I want you to think that I'm a successful woman. Think of all these different things we do. We even do it with our, when you're a little kid, you even do it with your parents because you want them to think you're a good girl, good boy, right? Just let me see here. So as we, just a sec. Yeah, your identity is something you should be able to look at objectively, all right? And he's calling it the manufactured self. And a couple of us were discussing that this week, going, he says moving away from the, and I'm not judging him, I'm playing with the idea because I think it's really good for us to kick these ideas around and really see if we can deepen into them. Anyway, as far as the manufactured self goes, I believe David said that we needed to get over it. We needed to get beyond it. But I was thinking about it a lot, and I went, well, you know something? I think it's a manufactured self that gets us to get a job. And ideally, we just be the essence of our being, or the essential self, as he calls it. But we need a job, and we need friends, and we need a house. And I think we also need aesthetics. Isn't that manufactured as well? Of course, there's an intrinsic quality to aesthetics, isn't there? Like pie, you know? I'm just watching that there's intrinsic formats for beauty. There's relationships between them, sound healers will say, between the notes and the intervals and all that, and that we can feel and see and know when things are beautiful and we want to incorporate it into our world because we want a part of that beauty, right? Incidentally, music is so resonant. But the third thing he talked about was that to move into the essential self, maybe you want to call me and tell me what you think the essential self is, but to move into the essential self is the part of you, I understood from what David said, the essential self is that beingness that you are and you have, and you've had it for, from my perspective, for maybe thousands and thousands and thousands of years. And I think that's a really important part of this. And it's the part of you that makes you both unique and capable of being one. It's making part of you it's the part of you that knows how to go on this planet and do various things in order to achieve whatever your soul dharma is. And I use the word dharma. David doesn't use terms that are so specifically either Hindu or Christian or whatever. I think I use a potpourri. I just pull them out of a hat there and use the ones that seem to cover the most bases. But what do you think about it? Do you guys sit, when you're sitting in your meditation, do you feel the presence of your essential self? I like to call it my infinite self or my soul self. What do you feel? Why don't you phone in and talk about it with me? But I think I'm going to pick on a few people today. Yeah, I like that part. So I'm going to look out there and see what you're doing. Okay, so, well, perfect. Here's a woman who's probably in her late 40s, say, and she's very anxious, and she's a little bit heavy, and I'm not sure what she's anxious about. Let's ask her. What are you anxious about? Okay. She's afraid that she is not acceptable. And she, we're talking to her higher person, so her mind might not know she's doing this. But what I'm seeing is she's afraid that she's not acceptable. And the reasons for that are myriad. You know this. Somebody told you this when you were little, and somebody said that when you were little. And we buy it, right? So that the self becomes more and more manufactured, right? So she's afraid that she's not enough of a person. And that nobody will, and that no one will respect her. So she's anxious. She's a little jittery. She's hard to get along with. And why is she hard to get along with? Because people can't kind of, she's, okay, that vibration is she's defending herself and doesn't even know she's doing that. So somebody's sitting by her and trying to play with her or something, and she's being defensive and deflective. And that person can't figure out what on earth she's on about. But as, if I look into her, I just go, oh my gosh, that young woman, well, she's young to me, has a lot of pain in there. And that pain keeps her kind of, it's like PTSD. It keeps her agitated and wanting to be, push people. She wants so much for people to want to be with her. And yet she wants to push people away because she's so afraid of the potential judgment there. Isn't that sad? How many of you have felt that? I know that a lot of us have. So let's clear her off, and what we'll do, oh, what we'll do for her first before we clear her off is we're going to go in and we're going to ask to feel all of that anxiety that she comes up with and the fact that she has a manufactured self that is defending her essential self against attack at all times. But what if there is no attack? And what if we could learn how to take our manufactured self, take a look at it and go, that's not appropriate anymore. And so what I'm seeing in this person I'm using is a deep, deep hurt and a deep anxiety. But what goes with it is a very deep and sensitive creativity. So we're going to use our... we're going to talk to her higher self and ask her higher self to, we're going to encourage her higher self to bring up that anxiety over and over again. Bring it up, feel it, dance with it, talk to it. It's as if it's a part of you. It's as if it's a person. And you don't deserve to have that anymore. You're funny, you're fun, you're creative. She's already moving it. Sometimes when you address a part of you like that, you'd be so shocked at how quickly you A, recognize it when you didn't even know it was there, and B, it shifts. My gosh, it's like a naughty child in the sense that once it's seen and known for who it is, guess what happens? It moves. Anyway, so my little friend out there who was very anxious has suddenly gotten calm. She had a lot of red stuff way inside. I'm not seeing any of that anymore. Yay! What a girl. Now let's look at this... okay, so now we're looking at a man, and he's older too. I'm probably going to pick on older people because all of us are going to age. Did you know that? And what happens is you watch older people out there and you can almost write a book on the various things that they've stuffed in their bodies and created their identification with. For example, I'm thinking of a man I saw, and he's got one of those ways of bending at the shoulders and the neck. His neck is always down and he's always looking forward. And he has a lot of shoulder pain, which would make sense. But he had a lot of issues about being driven, but being driven to, let's call it book learning, driven to learn and to write. And he didn't just do that, sit and write. He wrote. He was driven inside. So you could say ultimately that his identity was like, I do this and I do it well, and that's who I am. So he had this intensity about the way he held his head and his neck. Now, you and I know that isn't all of who he is, but that's what he had in his belief structure. And I feel a little bit sorry for him because his neck is very, he's in his 70s now, and his neck is very sore. I think he's going to get a little bit of help from a doctor coming up. But in any case, you can look at people's body structure and see how they do it. And it was interesting, as I was talking about him, I just got a flash on one of the books that I did an interview about with Matthew Fox. His book is called, Meister Eckhart. And he had in this book a number of different great spiritual teachers who were studying the movement of humanity through all kinds of different phases, you know. And they were talking about the comparison between enlightenment in the East and enlightenment in the West. And in the East, there tends to be a rather yang, like this is in the Asian world or the Asian world. And people tend to move. I've always heard this about Japan. People move in a, what would we say, in community form. People tend to, there's a lot of independent people, but here in America, people all want to be individualistic. There, they do play for the good of the group, some of them. And we're seeing here that the people over there, the people that collectively have always lived there for generations and generations, believe in enlightenment as an inner process, and you're quiet about it, and you drop more deeply in yourself, and you become, I wouldn't use the term essential self, but you become in touch with your, what I would call your infinite self, your soul, your spirit, however you want to phrase it. Different religious things do different terms, right? But I just see it as this deep velvety flow that goes inside, and it brings you closer to your own divinity, the assumption being that we all have divinity in us. We forget that. And if you learn carefully, you can tap it. You can be in touch with it. So over there, they do it kind of collectively. A lot of people meditate over there, and we know that. And a lot of people have done things like acupuncture for the sake of consciousness and all kinds of energy tools for the sake of consciousness and expansion and so on. And magic, right? And over here, the stuff that was written says that we go through our vocations. I thought that was really interesting because in America, people tend to want to be individualistically resolved or realized, and that enlightenment isn't always the same. Enlightenment is, several people have said, an overused word, but a lot of the people that we're studying these days or hearing from these days are talking about awakening being back to the divinity within. Awakening is the process of rising up and receiving the bounty from the universes and the bounty from the earth and incorporating it into your own vibrational vehicle. And also it is our vocation. Those of us who are working in this and making our way in the world in this kind of stuff, I'm an intuitive and energy counselor, as you know, and I'm always studying and learning, and I study through those of you that I talk to. My biggest goal, I don't mean to be just talking about me, but I think I'm a good example of this particular thing, biggest drive for me is to become awake and aware and serve and take my dharma or whatever you call your purpose in this lifetime and put it into the collective. So as I work on people and I work with the, I said, bringing in the higher, bringing in the earth, try to bring in all of that and work with people and bring in their, the essence of their being. And it makes a circle, you know, you get, you share and it goes back and forth and back and forth. And I just see it as building more and more high frequencies. When I'm really down and tired and so on, I can do three sessions and feel like I can fly to the moon. So I want to say that A, I'm not enlightened, or maybe, who knows, I don't even know what that quite means. But B, a lot of us are really amazed at how, if you're in your own realm, if you're doing the work that you were really meant to do, and the other person benefits and you benefit, and they benefit and you benefit, and it goes around like a wheel, and then we all move high. It's like a spiral, isn't it? And then we all move higher and higher. And so they say that in the West, that's a really big deal. Because in the East, they might have their masters, their gurus, and their teachers. In the West, we're all scrabbling to be in that position. All of us. And that's the way it should be, we think. And I think it's true. Because I want everybody to wake up. If I can do it, you could do it. If you can do it, I can do it. Anything I can do, you can do better. Is that right? Anyway, it's a very, very exciting subject. I love it very much. And Meister Eckhart talked about that kind of thing. He didn't do YouTubes because this was the 12th century, but he certainly did believe that we were awakening. And he did teach a lot of people that we had huge, amazing abilities that we don't think we have. He's a wonderful, wonderful person to read. I've only read a little bit. I'm going to do more. And then there was Peter Calhoun, and I often refer to him because he was the priest, the Anglican priest, Episcopalian priest, that's right, who suddenly got visions and so on. And he started studying with Rolling Thunder, and his visions were of us walking around with this huge skin over us all over the world, kind of something that pressured everybody. And people were, back to the old guy that I was talking about, people were stoop-shouldered and responsible for living a life that they believed that they had to live, but they were hunched down and they were not in touch with this innate power we've got. And the innate power comes through being in touch with your essential nature and dropping all kinds of pieces of your identity, because you can use them, but don't be them. It's like our ego. Use them, but don't be them. So Peter Calhoun took off from the priesthood and started studying with Native American stuff, but also he studied with his own guides and angels. And he could do things like spontaneously combust things. He could get water running. Where is he now that there's a drought? I loved talking to him because not only is his message similar to people like Matthew Fox and Meister Eckhart and so on, but he was very kind of real and present, and you just felt like he was the guy next door and you could learn from him. And he had that feeling that was strong for him, that you and I can do it. You are really powerful and I am really powerful. We just have to learn to tap those resources in such a way that we get to use that power. First of all, you got to know what it is. Well, that was a big, long spiel, wasn't it? I'm seeing somebody out there whose eyes are really strange. They're kind of, I want to say they're kind of like watery and full or something. Not like crying, but they've probably been watering a lot. And there's a lot of allergies. I want to say to you, you have a lot of allergies. And if you think about identity, there's a huge stress way down deep inside of yourself, in all of your organs, if you have an attitude about this is what I have to look like in order to be socially acceptable, and oh gosh, I've got this amazing, awful hair, and I have a belly, and blah, blah, blah. Even though we're living in a very toxic environment because we've got so many chemicals and stuff that are being willy-nilly hurled through our planet, we have the ability to go inside and unhook a lot of that tension we have about what we're supposed to be versus what we really are. And in that, there can be a tremendous release of allergies. I hope I don't get in trouble here. Don't go tell the FDA that I said this. By the way, I'm here in Mount Shasta. Am I ever lucky? Wow. It's a wonderful place to be right now. I see that none of you are going to call in. Let's see here. Who else will I do? Maybe I'll pick on, oops, I'm going to pick on two more people. I want you all to focus. I'm thinking of two different women who are two different sizes and two different ages. And I won't even describe it, but both of you have a lot going on in the belly. And I want all of you to drop into your belly. Talk about identity. And remember, Stephen Pollett was saying that we need to resonate or vibrate above. He calibrated people according to what Hawkins did. And his calibrations were of individuals that they might, like 900 is enlightenment. But he said that, you know, and people are all the way up the ladder. But he said that he was working with all kinds of people. He uses the pendling system. And he said that he didn't ever calibrate. He never did find anybody. The rate of his vibration in his subconscious was higher than 200. And that to me, that meant, the more he talked about it, the more I thought, well, that's why humanity, even though we know better than to kill each other, is still killing each other. Because what's in the belly, and I told you to focus on your belly here, that's leftover stuff, old thoughts and feelings, old beliefs that come from mom, dad, anybody you've ever had sex with, your lineage, hamburger. All this stuff goes through the belly area. It's a hugely karmic collecting place for old beliefs. So both these people have very, very different lives, but both of them are congested in that area. And it's going to take more than flaxseed. It's going to take some consciousness to move to back to what we said earlier at the beginning of this show, to bring up some of the beliefs that you have. Call them up. Say, I want to know what I believe about, oh, I don't care, blonde people, you know, whatever. Pick up a bunch of things and ask to feel. And if you're really doing it well and really surrendering, your belly's going to start to move around. Because if you let yourself, you can absolutely change what's stored there. And as we do that, as we started talking at the beginning of this show, as we do that kind of thing, guess what? We're having an impact on the world. And most of us really want that. And remember, they say in the Western world, it goes through vocation. We'll see what the Asians say to that. Anyway, this is... I hope that made sense to you, because I think that the belly, I keep going on about the belly. The belly is really, really important. And the guides keep saying to me, because of the way nature's changed, because of the way the resonance of Mother Earth has moved up, she's scorched and she's hurt and she's screaming. I know that. But what's coming through the universe is our amazing high frequency energies as well. And the guides keep saying, this is the time where when people choose, you can actually step out of the edicts of the subconscious. I know I've said this before, but it's something we should remind ourselves every single day. So instead of saying, oh gosh, I'm just like my grandmother. Oh gosh, I'm just like this. I'm just like that. We need to step out of it like it's an old pair of shorts. Just step out of it all. Take a look at it. Resonate with it. Oh, I have a karma that, pick a thing, that's really defensive, that's afraid of men. How about that? Something really basic like that, that doesn't like snakes, okay? I'm not sure I'm comfortable with snakes either, but I do know that's almost a pathological subconscious trait that a lot of us have, right? So if we're going to step out of karma, the edicts of karma, which means that you meet somebody, you know each other, and the next thing you know, you're in these screaming rows, it's because you got something in your belly or in your energy system, your brain and your belly that you don't even know you have, but it just puts your teeth on edge when it comes to this person. We could call it karma, leftover stuff from other lives. And again, the guides keep saying to you, guess what? This is the time in history where you can literally step out of it. And I would recommend it because most of you are a little tired of it all. So I'm on the road. I'm going to go to a big seminar on this weekend, and it will go till Friday. So I'm not going to be on Radiance by Design next week. And I'm not really sure who to put in. I thought that maybe I would put someone else in place. Otherwise, we'll be running a paradigm shifter. So if you have any ideas of what you'd like to hear in that space, that would be great. And what's coming up on Tuesday is Susan Hall. And she wrote a book called Ha! I Laugh in the Face of Cancer. Her book is short and pithy. She's got a website called ilaughinthefaceofcancer.com. And she's going to be on our paradigm shifter on Tuesday night. Very, very wonderful woman. And it's also something, remember I said about the allergies and how you can change things? She's got some really good information for you all on how to take charge of the healing frequencies in your own body. So this is Veronica Entwistle saying, thank you so much for listening to Radiance by Design. I know you're out there, even though you're not calling me. And I send you much love. And if you have any questions, complaints, God forbid, but sometimes good advice for us to learn from. If you would like a session with me or my guides and angels, please contact me on the veronicaentwistle.com and hit the Ask Veronica button. We love your feedback. Any feedback you give us is very delightful. Because, you know, it's hard work to talk globally and not really know what other people are thinking as they hear it. So once again, thank you so much for listening. Much love to all of you. And I will see you a week. No, I'll see you 2 weeks from tonight. No, I'll see you on Paradigm Shifters. And then I'll see you 2 weeks from tonight on Radiance by Design. Many, many blessings. Good night and much love.